This time on Weather Brains, Bill Murray looks back at 2006 weather. We look at world hurricane activity.
We were very lucky around the globe that tropical cyclone activity all over the world was below average.
And after the fact, tropical surprise.
Turned out there was actually a storm that the Hurricane Center missed.
What you might not know that could kill you.
No matter where you are, I think in the United States, that is always a weak link.
Also, a surprising trend in severe weather for the year.
We still continue to be in a downward trend in violent tornadoes in the United States.
Plus, we'll listen back to a few Weather Brains netcasts from 2006. It's all coming up. Welcome to episode number 48 of Weather Brains, the netcast that's all about weather, put together by a bunch of weather geeks like myself, David Black, one of them from the Weather Company in Birmingham, Alabama. But I'm not the only weather geek with us this time as well, Bill Murray. Merry Christmas, Bill Murray. How are you?
Merry Christmas to you too, David. Did you get everything under your tree that you wanted this year?
It's really bizarre. We had heard a very scary report that Santa was going to bypass my place. Allegedly, I'd been bad this year, but he apparently had a change of heart, and everything worked out. I trust for you all was nice as well?
Yeah, I was a little worried on Christmas Eve because wind shear was a little tough over Alabama, and I thought he was going to have a hard time shooting some of these approaches on these rooftops around here.
Well, he did a good job. He's got people and animals built for the task. Speaking of animals, Brian Peters. Oh, that wasn't nice, and it's after Christmas. I shouldn't have said that. Hey, Brian Peters, how are you?
Yeah, somebody's checking his list for next year, and you're going to get a whole dump truck of coal.
And I'm already in trouble. Anyway.
I'm doing fabulous, David.
Good deal.
Had a most interesting day in central Alabama today because the temperature was sort of flatlined.
Yeah. For folks listening in Alabama, it's just downright chilly the day after Christmas, isn't it?
Yes.
We also have with us this time Mr. J.B. Elliott. Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Elliott. How are you, sir?
I are fair.
Fair?
To partly cloudy,
battling a little bit of the winter crud, perhaps?
Yes.
Okay. Jason Simpson is with us, too. Hey, Jason.
Hello.
We got a good crew this time. We do not have James Spann because Brian Peters kicked him out. No, not really. James is taking some vaccination, as they say, otherwise known as vacation. Anybody know what he's doing? Is he goofing off? Is he taking it easy? What's he up to?
Growing a beard. We know he'll be doing that. Because I've done it. I've got a 7-day beard right now, and 7 days in a row off. It's great. You know, I'll shave it by tomorrow morning, though.
This guy will do anything to get a
date.
Can
you even see it?
I'm going to take a picture and send it to you, Brian. We've got all kinds of pictures around the Christmas tree with me and having a beard. It's great.
I'd love to see it.
I often wonder if there are extraterrestrials monitoring the internet and radio channels and stuff out somewhere elsewhere in the solar system. If they heard a Weather Brains netcast and had to decide on intelligence on this planet in the solar system, what would they say?
Negative.
Say nothing on the scanner, sir. Keep sweeping.
We've got some listeners.
No intelligent life. Let's bypass this place.
Actually, you know, they'd probably hear J.B. Elliott and say, well, there might be some hope for them.
Yeah. We've got some listeners on Mars, but they thought it was static.
Well, there may be a day, maybe when we have some listeners on Mars. You never know. Anyway, Bill Murray has been putting together a bunch of interesting material for this netcast, and let us point out that this is our final netcast, no tears guys, final netcast of 2006. We've been on the air for almost a year, not quite a year, but this has been a very event-filled year as far as weather goes, and Bill Murray, being the Weather Brains official weather historian, you've been working on some pretty cool information about things that have gone on. Where did you get this information? Do you just have some magic weather library where you store all this stuff?
Well, you know, actually, David, I started collecting this stuff when I was a kid, really because of JB, you know, because he would come on the weather radio back when I was a young kid and have these wonderful stories, and I'd sit there and write them by hand and put them in files, and it sort of became a tradition. And now I've got probably well over 1,000 pages of historical weather anecdotes that I collect. It's sort of my hobby. It's kind of weird, but it's fun for me.
Okay, so you say you started doing this as a kid. Were you writing stuff down on note cards or something? How are you doing?
Absolutely. It was done in notebooks, and in 1995 I sat down to actually type it into a huge Microsoft Word document, and I've got copies of that all over the place, and it's just something fun I do. It gives me information for the blog and for my weather reports that we do, that JB and I do all through the week, along with James. You know, it's something I can add in there to add a little interest to that information.
And we should point out for folks who may have just started listening to our netcast, the blog, of course, is at abc3340.com in the weather section. Bill, JB, well, all of you guys do just a lot of different posts, do a great job, and there's a lot of fascinating weather history. Bill Murray, Bill, you, again, you post some great stuff, just different times of weekends. I see stuff posted at nights about events that happened on this date X number of years ago. What are we looking at in terms of some of the major events as we look back at 2006? What are the weather developments that are really going to stick around as news in years ahead that we'll remember back to?
Well, fortunately, unlike the last 2 years, we didn't have real significant disasters worldwide like we did with the tsunami 2 years ago and Hurricane Katrina. Although there actually was a typhoon in the Philippines, one of the four that hit there this year, that killed over 1,200 people, and I think that was probably the, you know, the worst single disaster that I found through the entire year. We were very lucky around the globe that tropical cyclone activity all over the world was below average, and especially here in the Atlantic, where we really needed a break after 2004 and 2005.
Yeah.
So despite those dire predictions to the contrary, the Atlantic was quiet this year thanks to El Nino and perhaps Saharan dust, and that was wonderful. It turned out there was actually a storm that the Hurricane Center missed. I don't know if y'all saw that story, but a little postseason analysis by the Hurricane Center indicated that there was another, a 10th tropical storm in July off of Nantucket. They didn't name it at the time, but now they've gone back and said that it was officially a tropical storm, so that becomes the 10th storm, even though we only named 9 this year. So that's a little fact that'll go down in history.
That's interesting. Haven't ever heard of that happening before.
Maybe I don't know if I've ever heard of it either. Maybe Brian or JB or Jason remembers the time that that occurred, but I'm sure it probably has. But this year we actually named 9 storms and had 10.
Well, we kind of we had the break in a sense that you're talking about, and we've interviewed different folks, including Max Mayfield, leaving as director of the National Hurricane Center, and the concern has been expressed that just because we had a quieter than initially forecast year, a lot of folks say, you know, we could get into a Katrina-like situation again without too much effort.
Well, how quickly they forget, but I don't think the people in New Orleans and Mississippi Gulf Coast are going to forget that quickly, because they're still looking at it every day for sure.
Yep, still building back even now. What else went on?
Well, there was a huge, an interesting thing when you have an El Nino situation. Sometimes you'll get hurricanes that move out of the central Pacific south of Hawaii across the international dateline.
Wow.
But they become typhoons, and Aoki was the strongest hurricane ever in the central Pacific, 920 millibars. And then when it crossed the dateline, it became Typhoon Aoki, and it again became a Category 5 on that side. That's kind of unusual. Then Cimarron was a very deadly typhoon in the Philippines, killed about 250 people when it made landfall as a Cat 5 in October. And then, of course, we talked about Durian, which killed 1,200 in the Philippines in November. That was one of the four typhoons that struck there this year. And then Seomine, I may not be saying that right, was the strongest typhoon to hit China in 50 years. So it was still busy in the northwestern Pacific, busy in the eastern Pacific, like you would expect. With an El Nino, they get the hurricanes, then the Atlantic gets into a down pattern. But there were 19 named storms in the eastern Pacific, including 11 hurricanes and 5 major hurricanes, which is quite busy for that part of the world, too. And then they had probably the strongest cyclone ever to hit Australia. Luckily, it hit a very uninhabited area of the northeast side of Australia, but it had a central pressure of 879 millibars, and that's very close to the 870 millibars, which was in Typhoon Tip, I think, in 1970, which is regarded to be the strongest cyclone or the strongest tropical cyclone ever around the globe. So around the whole world, globally, we were down 78 storms, 42 hurricanes, typhoons, and cyclones, and 25 major storms around the world.
Goodness.
In 2006.
So we can sit here and say, oh, it's pretty quiet in the Atlantic, not a big 06, but boy, not that way in the other parts of the world.
That's right. There were still some terrible storms. They actually evacuated the entire island of Wake Island when one of the typhoons was coming their way back in, I think, in July. They actually took all 188 people off the island, put them on planes, and carried them away. And fortunately, the damage there was not as bad as they expected, and everybody went back.
Even the highest elevation on the lake was covered, wasn't it, Bill?
I think that's right, Debbie. But that was probably the best 100% evacuation in the history of the world.
I bet.
I see.
I mean, the maximum elevation on Lake Island is what, 120 feet? No, couldn't be that much.
That's probably right, Debbie. But around the world, it was another warm year. 2006 will finish globally as the sixth warmest year. We still stay in a pattern of warming that started in the middle 1970s. We're almost a full degree above normal this year around the globe. The U.S. is having right now its third warmest year on record as we continue that same pattern that started in the middle 1970s. And the other interesting fact I saw, David, is that Japan recorded their deadliest tornado on November 7th. 9 people were killed on the island of Hokkaido when a tornado, I think it was an F3, a very rare event in Japan, occurred, striking the town of Saroma, which was a pretty interesting event.
Yeah, I wonder how you prepare for something that you never have to deal with.
And that's right. Very, or very hard, strange occurrence.
Or hardly ever have to deal with, anyway. Yeah, and El Nino had an effect, I guess, really around the world, but certainly in the Atlantic basin, too, for bringing our season to lower than expected as well.
And it's interesting. I think I heard Dr. Gray say on our show that, and maybe I read this, too, that they expect the El Nino conditions to abate by May, which would, of course, be just in time for the 2007 Atlantic hurricane season.
Okay. What about national weather? We've had some pretty big stuff happen in the U.S.
Well, I thought one of the interesting things happened just a couple of weeks ago. We had the earliest season snows ever in parts of Florida across areas near Melbourne, over toward Orlando, Volusia, Orange, and Seminole counties. It was the earliest snow they ever had. And I think some snow up into southeastern Georgia.
Goodness.
They actually had some accumulation. So that had to be quite a surprise with one of those upper-level lows. Back October 12th and 13th, the Buffalo area got bombed with 22.6 inches of snow from an unusually early lake effect snow event that occurred in that area, and it actually made for their heaviest snowfall month of October ever there in Buffalo, and 1 million people were without power at the height of that storm. There were a couple of big May and June flooding events in New England and the Mid-Atlantic. Historic flooding in parts of New England, 17-inch rainfall amounts were common. And I think only Hurricane Diane produced heavier rainfall amounts in places like Boston and parts of the Northeast. Nearly 200,000 people in the June event had to leave Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and get out in the way of that flooding. And probably the only good news that came out of it was that the IRS headquarters in Washington actually flooded. So there probably were some people that were cheering for the floodwaters in that event.
Maybe somebody who was waiting on their refunds got some bad news.
Well, we'll probably all be audited now, so
that's right.
Probably was not something good. So maybe you can edit that out, Dave.
Yeah, the email address there is bill at me. Anyway.
And we none of us know him.
Yeah, we've never met the individual.
Then there was the Esperanza wildfire that happened in October.
That was late October?
Yeah, led to the deaths of 4 firefighters, and that was a tragic event there. And I think that a fire that was set deliberately, too, so really a criminal situation. A well-forecast tornado was one of my, because I like it when the system works. A tornado struck the little town of Regalswood, North Carolina, and even though the warnings were in place, the watch was there, there was plenty of warning. It struck at a very early hour, 6:29 in the morning, and unfortunately, 8 people lost their lives. So it still tells the story of, no matter how good the warnings are, we're going to still have fatalities and tornadoes until we can, get the warnings in the hands of the right people at the right time.
Well, that's a good point, because there were a few news headlines about struck without warning when, in fact, there was a warning in effect in advance of it.
And, in fact, those were the main headlines after that tornado, David, if I remember. Nothing infuriates me more, but I guess in a way you could say those headlines are right, because if the folks didn't get the warnings, I guess there was no warning. So,
well, but, we've had the discussion before about, making sure that you are aware when the warning goes out.
That's always a weak link, no matter where you are, I think, in the United States. That is always a weak link. Maintaining your awareness, your personal awareness as an individual of what's going on around you. And we have a tendency, I think, to not want to do that. Or I saw one interview from the tornadoes that occurred just a couple of days ago in Florida, or on Christmas Day in Florida. And the fellow said, you know, I just didn't think that something like this would ever happen to me.
Absolutely, and that's the problem with the whole system until everyone takes personal responsibility, I think, Ryan. Then my fifth biggest story in the United States this year was the retirement of Max Nayfield. And David, I got a nice note from him today. Said he's packing up his office, and it was, you know, going to take him 2 weeks to get 34 years worth of stuff out of his office. So we're really going to miss Max. I think he'll go down in the pantheon of the greatest directors of the National Hurricane Center, along with Grady Norton, who's an Alabamian, born in Alabama, and Neil Frank, and probably Bob Sheets is my favorite. Brian might, and JB and Jason could throw in some other folks there, but those are my favorite directors of the Hurricane Center over the years, for sure.
Mr. Mayfield did a tremendous job just keeping emergency management appraised, news media appraised. I wonder how many interviews he's given in his tenure at the NHC. Anybody want to take a guess on that?
Oh,
a
significant.
A lot,
yeah.
Just in the last 2 years, it would have to be probably more than the last 10.
Probably.
We've got all the cable news networks 24 hours, 7 days a week now, and then with all the active hurricane seasons that we've had since especially 2004, I would imagine that his tenure from 2000 to 2006 was probably the most busy for television interviews, no doubt.
Is Bob Sheets still doing TV weather in Houston?
I think that's Neil Frank, JB.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And I'm not sure.
He definitely is. I saw him on television a couple of years ago, so I think he still may be on television. And that's something that Max said in his email. He said he will end up in the hurricane system somewhere. It'll be interesting to see where he lands.
Yeah, I doubt that we've seen the last of him.
Absolutely. Who is our friend? Is it Jason Kelly? Jason, who's in Panama City?
Yeah, Jason Kelly down at WJHG.
I thought it was amazing when Brian and I were at the coast for Hurricane Dennis in July of 2005. That that Director Mayfield took the time that Sunday morning, despite, you know, as you said, he's bombarded with interviews and broadcasting, but he took the time to call Jason directly and tell him of the immediate concern that the hurricane was turning a bit to the right and heading toward the Florida Panhandle, where we thought it was going to come to the Alabama Gulf Coast, I think, early that morning. So, you know, he still was that connected in everything he did. My next thing, David, were the wildfires. 9.5 million acres this year, thanks to persistent drought conditions and warmer than normal temperatures in the West. And things really start off with a bang. 1 year ago today, or 1 year ago tomorrow, several thousand acres, hundreds of thousands of acres were burning in the Oklahoma and Texas region. And one town actually was burned to the ground on the night of the 27th. And that continued over into the new year. And then there was a single day on March 12th, where 633,000 acres burned in Oklahoma and Texas in the wind-whipped inferno, and it forced 1,900 people from their homes. It ended up burning over 1,000 square miles of the Texas Panhandle by the end of the year. So that's just amazing.
Expensive.
And one of the deadliest things in the United States this year was the heat wave that struck in July. California had 140 people die. Temperatures were, well over 100 degrees, and I think Death Valley had seven straight days at 125 degrees or hotter during that heat wave, so it was unbelievable. Something I didn't really pay attention to at the time, or it didn't register with me, is that tornadoes were really hard on the Tennessee state, the Volunteer State, this year. On April 2nd and April 7th, there were 19 fatalities in the first event, and then I think 12 fatalities in the second event on the 7th. And Tennessee really suffered hard this year from all the tornadoes that hit in early April. And that second event again was another. This was unusual because it was the first time that a high risk outlook had ever been issued the day before the event. And JB probably remembers that. And we were all a little skeptical, but it turned out to be a very well placed advisory a day in advance.
I believe one of those tornadoes is the one that devastated that town northeast of Nashville at mid-afternoon one day.
That's exactly right. I think
passed I-65 south of Nashville and went on up to Gatlin.
Exactly. But the thing that's interesting to me is that we still continue to be in a downward trend in violent tornadoes in the United States. 23 tornadoes were F3 or greater during prime tornado season this year, and the average is 37. There was only one F4 this year, that's the good news, and 22 F3s, and no F5s. And can anyone in the group remember when the last F5 tornado in the United States was?
Not offhand.
Is it May 3rd, 99?
Exactly. That's exactly
Oklahoma
right.
City, Oklahoma City.
Moore, Oklahoma City, yeah.
Give the man a cigar. Wait, he's too young for that. Never mind.
I'm too young for a cigar, yes. Give me one, the bubblegum cigar. That'll work.
Okay.
And the great news is this is far and away the longest drought that we've ever had of F5s in the United States. And, you know, we're seeing a lot more tornadoes now because we know about them more than ever before. But this is the longest time period that we've ever gone between F5s in the United States. So let's hope that but continues for quite some time.
Absolutely. What about Alabama weather?
Well, in Alabama, David, it luckily was a very boring year overall, and we like it when it's like that. But, David, do you know what National Weather Service office had the most landfalling tropical storms in their CWA, their county warning area, since 1995?
Had the most landfalling.
Anybody want to guess?
Mobile.
Mobile, Alabama.
I wouldn't have guessed.
I had them down as my 10th biggest story because they were awarded the gold medal by NOAA for their efforts during and following Hurricane Katrina, because they basically had to back up the office in Slidell when Hurricane Katrina took them out on August 29th. So they got the gold award, which is something else. I'm sure JB and Brian could tell us about that. The ninth biggest story I saw this year was the spring hailstorms that we had. If you remember back in April, we had several days where we had large hail. We had tennis ball size hail in Hartselle on April 7th and some 2 3/4 inch hail at several locations through central Alabama on April 19th. Does anybody know what the approximation to 2.75 inch hail is in terms of ball size?
Basketball.
Is that a baseball?
That would be baseball.
That's
Jason.
Baseball.
That's exactly right.
Hey, I'm 2 for 2 on the trivia.
This guy's good.
I am impressed. Tuscaloosa, 76 straight days with 90 during the summer. I think that's pretty phenomenal. The streak ended on August 28th, but we hit 100 in Birmingham for the first time since August 29th of 2000. Back on June 21st, that was the first time we had seen 100 degrees here in the Magic City in 6 years. And I thought that was pretty phenomenal. Did anybody pay any attention to the dust devil that was recorded in storm data on July 24th in Hayleville? Did $20,000 worth of damage, a dust devil.
Wow.
Something you don't expect to hear about. But they found debris from that that was not even associated, of course, with any thunderstorm. The debris was blown over a quarter mile away by this dust devil, though.
Gracious.
I thought that was pretty phenomenal. John Olshue and I were chasing tornadoes on the night of April 7th and actually saw one in Marion County. And it was one of a series of F1 tornadoes that struck across the central part of the state, and including Hayleville and Hamilton up in North Alabama. And a little tornado that touched down over here in the northern part of Jefferson County that nobody paid much attention to. I'm sure JB remembers moving through Roebuck just after midnight on April the 8th. And it brought down a lot of trees up in the northeast part of Birmingham. And the outbreak of 28 tornadoes that occurred in September, I think on September 22nd, including Vandiver, Locust Fork, and Aniana, where the high school stadium was damaged, was the largest outbreak ever in the United States in September that was not caused by a landfalling tropical storm. So I thought that was interesting. Then we had some November tornadoes, one down in Pentlala near Montgomery, and one that struck a kids play center in East Montgomery. That was pretty bad. And then probably the most tragic story I read about this year, there were only two direct weather related deaths in the state this year. July 16th, 11-year-old boy was struck by lightning while he was watering his animals near Alberta in Baldwin County, and he was standing with a hose in his hand when he was struck and killed. But witnesses said there was only one cloud in the sky and the sun was shining at the time. The very first lightning bolt out of a developing storm got this young man. And so, you know, it really tells you that you got to pay attention to your surroundings. Not just, you know, you may not even hear thunder. And of course, you wouldn't before the first lightning strike happens. And something that I thought was sort of related, the April race in Talladega, two men died when their flagpole they were setting up on their RV at Talladega was blown by a wind gust into a power line. It electrocuted them. So, even though that was probably not a direct weather-related death or two deaths, I thought that was a tragic situation. And then I've saved my favorite one for last. I had an email, David, from a gentleman named Mike or Mark Tyner in Tuscaloosa, and as our typical snow fan said, he said, "Will Tuscaloosa or Central Alabama or anybody, for that fact, ever get measurable snow again? I don't remember any for the last 5 or 6 years. It seemed growing up we would have snow at least a couple of inches every few years. Is it global warming or just bad luck?" So I did a little study on the state climatologist's webpage, and as of this morning, David, it's been 2,524 days since we've had a tenth of an inch of snow in Birmingham. That's the definition of measurable. And that's back to January 28th, 2000. And you say, well, there's probably been lots of streaks that long in our history. But you go back, as far as our records go, which is well back into the 19th century, and that is far and away the longest streak ever, over 2,500 days. The next longest is 1,769 days, 1905 to 1909. So
wow.
We really could use some snow.
No snow for T-Town.
And so that's my rundown of 2006 in Alabama.
Well, very entertaining, interesting weather, really around the world as well as here in Alabama.
If I could, I'd like to add one more element to Bill's statistics. One of the things that I began in the Weather Service back, and I'm trying to think what year that was, but it was probably, I think it was mid-90s or so, I began keeping a little table of the number of fatalities produced by tornadoes by state in the United States, because I was always curious as to where Alabama stood in the death toll from tornadoes. And I think a lot of people are aware that we're pretty high. We're actually third in the country in terms of the death toll from tornadoes. But according to the preliminary statistics, and please understand these are preliminary, it goes like this right now. This is through the end, or through November of 2006. Texas is number one. Number two is Mississippi. Number three is Alabama. Number four is Arkansas. And jumping to number five, because Bill mentioned the tornadoes in West Tennessee, is Tennessee. And all the time that I worked in Memphis, we were somewhere around 10th or so. And Tennessee's jumped to number five. Number six is Oklahoma. Number seven is Indiana. Number eight is Michigan. Number nine is Kansas. And number 10 is Illinois. So I think it's interesting that in the top, the top 10, that four of the southeastern states, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Tennessee, are 40% of the top 10 are in the southeastern United States.
Interesting
statistic.
Hi, Bill. Well, thanks for the rundown there of interesting weather. Any other weather tidbits from 2006 we want to look at?
I think those were the big ones, David. I had some. I'll share some other kind of weird things maybe in some future editions of the podcast. But
okay.
One that was interesting. The longest distance that a human has ever been blown by a tornado and survived happened this year in a tornado in Missouri. And the date escapes me, but I'll get it for you later. But he was watching television in his mobile home. Tornado struck. He was blown an estimated 1,307 feet. His only injury was a cut to his head.
Man.
And I believe, is the longest distance a human has ever been blown by a tornado and survived.
Longest, luckiest distance, it sounds
like. Absolutely.
We'll have to, in some future netcasts, get some of these other little weather tidbits that you come across. Very interesting stuff.
That guy has accumulated quite a few free miles.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, I've used up a few lives.
And probably so, at least 7 or 8.
All right. Well, thanks again, Bill. We will be looking forward to more reports in the future. Of course, we do know that being the hotel industry executive that you are, we may talk with you next time, and you might be in where? New Mexico? Utah? Where?
It's looking like Glen Burnie, Maryland when we talk next, David.
See, you know, it almost sounds like a joke, but you're not joking because you really do travel a lot. You got a heavy travel schedule for 07?
Actually, we're getting a new hotel 1st of January up there in Maryland, and we've been and visited it and met with the staff, and we start on January 1st. We'll actually be ringing in the new year.
Tell me the website for your business for folks who are intrigued by all your hotel venture business.
It's Integral, which nobody can ever spell. Integral, Integral, hospitality weatherbrains.com.
Very good. Thanks again. A reminder that the opinions expressed on Weather Brains are not necessarily those of ABC 3340. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is question@weatherbrains.com. If you'd like to leave a voicemail for us, our phone number is 206-339-5482. 206-339-5482.
By the way, JB became a great-grandfather this month.
That's the sound of Judy Elliott. Congratulations to the Elliots.
Thank you. We're not old, but they're young.
I understand.
I'm still calling myself a grandfather, though, not great-grandfather.
Grandpa JB.
Yeah.
Very good. Finally, 2006 was almost our first full year. The first Weather Brains netcast went online actually January 13th or thereabouts of 2006. During that time, we've been blessed with a great Weather Brains crew, some great listeners, and some great guests as well. We thought we'd close out our last netcast of 2006 with a few excerpts from Weather Brains netcasts during the year. Take these only as directed, void where prohibited by good taste.
This will give us a forum to talk about stuff that I have a passion for in a longer form.
What did you learn out of Katrina?
I've never seen anything quite like it myself as far as the height of the surge. And in recorded history, when you compare this to Camille, we had a storm surge that was broader and higher than Hurricane Camille.
Consider that you put out a high risk. Unfortunately, you still had numerous people perish in that. If you're in a situation where the conditions are favorable, and then you're sitting in a weather forecast office and you're looking at radar, and you think, oh, this thing can't produce an F3 tornado, and you don't issue a warning, then what's the reaction going to be?
For everybody in this business, I mean young, old, everybody, I don't care who you are, we're having to get all of our products now out digitally in a 24/7 world. Flying through that, I could still see people waving, you know, red rags, letting us know that they needed help, and we could just assume that somebody was watching that they could send help out there. It was just absolutely surreal.
4 out of 7 said that they thought they would have a better chance of rain with widely scattered thunderstorms than with scattered. It's just the opposite.
Interesting.
And they thought the widely scattered meant that they would be scattered over a much wider area and given them a better mathematical chance.
Some of the people in our audience are curious about the weather in Iraq.
Well, I'm not so sure, mate. I can tell you it's hot. It's about 48 degrees.
Celsius.
Yeah.
That's about 118 degrees Fahrenheit. So you break a sweat.
Yeah, with your body armor on.
Even back in the 50s and 60s, we got hate mail. It wasn't email because there was no such thing as email. But we got wall-to-wall telephone calls the next day if we missed missed a snow forecast. Just wall-to-wall calls.
You get hate mail if you're right, you get hate mail. If you're wrong, you just get hate mail. I think it's fairly arrogant for us to think we can solve the problem of this fluid motion, the atmosphere, using, you know, these computer models. It's not going to happen in my lifetime, and it's going to be generations down the line. We just think that's impossible.
I think we ought to learn how to have a singing intro.
A singing intro? I'll let you guys do the singing.
Most of us on this side, we decided while you were away, David, that you should do the singing.
Nobody do the singing?
That's a good idea. That's the ticket right there.
These winter storm threats will absolutely bring you to your knees. Halleck, Minnesota, they are down to 11 below zero. And that's the kind of air mass we're dealing with. Their wind chill index is 17 below zero, and that's what's going to be coming down the pike.
You guys need to write a book.
JB's already got the title of his book. JB, tell us the name of your book.
I know what that is.
Scatterbrains and Scattered Showers.
When's the release? When's the release date, JB?
Next week.
Every night, more and more water systems are asking people to conserve water by not watering the lawns.
Nature works this way some, and I don't think we should attribute these landfalls to human-induced global warming and things like a lot of people have been saying.
I would not be getting your research together on global warming at the Barbara Streisand Global Warming Crisis Concert Tour that's going on. I would get it from trained meteorologists, those that are good at climatology, that those that know what they're talking about.
There is a tremendous amount of propaganda around that carbon dioxide produced by humans is altering the Earth's climate dangerously.
Those of us who are not in the alarmist camp have a greater difficulty in justifying the research that we do to the those that fund such research.
We've been brainwashed for 20 years. We've been brainwashed on this topic. Yes, we have seen some warming the last 30 years and over the last century, but in my view, this warming is primarily due to natural causes associated with the ocean circulation pattern changes.
Whatever. I just got back from a half-mile walk with my dumb dog, and it is really sticky out there.
Why did you say dumb dog? Because you're probably going to get some email about that. Your dog's probably very smart.
Semi-smart.
Come on, J.B. Elliott.
J.B. Elliott's email address, if you'd like to contact him here at Weatherbird.
We've noticed that only 1 in 10 of these African waves that come across the ocean develop into a tropical cyclone, so we'd like to understand more. This experiment, we'll be flying a DC-8 at 45,000 feet, and so we'll be skimming along the tops of the these storms. And we'll also be doing some stair-stepping through the storm at different altitudes.
I was at a restaurant here in Birmingham about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the lady just said, "I just listened to your weather." And I thought she was talking about a radio station. You know, I'm on 27 stations. And I always like to ask, which radio station did you hear it on? And she said, "Well, it wasn't a radio station, it was my iPod."
I still lean heavily on the National Hurricane Center tracking chart because I figure they have taken the time and have the experts to grind all of that into the meat grinder and figure out what's best. And it's just hard to differ with them, really.
This is Max Mayfield, director of the National Hurricane Center, listening to Weather Brains.
We're going to be saying adios to him.
Yeah, Max is retiring.
I'm tired, and I think I'll go home now. I'm just, you know, 34 years is a long time for anybody to be in the same place, and it's just, I know it's time to move on.
Birmingham TV viewers want a change. They're tired of James Spann's cakes and bobble-headed dolls. Spann takes cash under the table from Birmingham grocery stores to scare residents about winter storms. This witness saw money change hands.
You just knew something was in the air.
But this type of shenanigans is standard Spann.
And I ran out of money to pay off those guys.
Brian Peters wants to be your chief meteorologist, but he's never around when the going gets tough. Instead, he's going all right, like the time when severe weather hit. Brian was joyriding in the Storm Chaser and had a flat. When a severe thunderstorm warning was issued, where was Brian? At a Mississippi casino, cashing in.
There are some very fine scientists in Huntsville. Huntsville has a machine going that has to be kept running, and there's therefore money available to keep these people functioning. It's really a contractual whore factory.
I started in the spring of 1957. The morning I came on duty at the Birmingham airport, the very first day on duty, and a tornado was on the ground at that moment north of Jasper in the Red Mills community, and it killed 4 people.
You know, David, I want to see JB on one of those jet skis. Don't you know that he could crank that thing up and really run with it?
That'd be the experience of a lifetime.
At that.
You'd like that. Ever done that,
oh,
JB?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
It sounds like fun.
Get on the Speedo and get on the jet ski. I mean, now we need a photograph of that for the blog.
We do need a picture, JB.
Now that is a sight. JB and a Speedo on a jet ski.
I'll do anything. She said, "May I read a few Bible verses to you guys up there?" I said, "Sure, I believe in that." She read a few Bible verses, and then she said a short prayer. And when she said amen, I realized I had been trapped. She lit into me and just really, really chewed me out and everybody there. She said, "You guys are keeping everybody in the state of Alabama awake, and God is going to deal with you." She said, "When you get to heaven, if you get to heaven, God is going to deal with you severely for keeping everybody up and scaring them to death." By then, I had worked about 15 hours straight and was exhausted. I was supposed to be courteous to people on the telephone, but this is one time I was not. And I said, "Lady, if you don't get off of this phone immediately, I'm going over to my super powerful radar, pick out the strongest thunderstorm in the state, and reprogram it to come right across your house." She said, the only thing I heard after that was, oh my God, click.
J.B. Elliott. Some of the music provided during this netcast came from the Podshow PodSafe Music Network, online at music.podshow.com. For the entire WeatherBrains crew, I'm David Black. Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next year for our next WeatherBrains netcast. WeatherBrains is copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Adios. Happy New Year.